As good neighbors, Proverbs chapter 3, 27 to 30. In the 6,000 to 7,000 years of human history, there has been countless wars. Someone said to me, not a million years? No. 6,000 to 7,000. That's the biblical record. There has been countless wars. There was hardly any time period in human history where there are no major human conflicts. Historians have noted perhaps 300 years of peace, and those times were spent reloading and preparing for the outbreak of the next conflict. The last millennium was touted to be a millennium of peace. But we saw in the first 50 years, two world wars. Sovereign nations were intruded by predator nations. Cruel, inhumane behaviors. And the last 50 years were thought to be times of peace. We have the two world wars behind us, but statistics shows to us that there were indeed many conflicts and wars, and the death toll were not small. Human conflicts, from the Korean War, from the Vietnam War, in Burma, in the killing fields of Cambodia, in Africa, great numbers, in China itself, there is hardly any peace. Men somehow cannot exercise good neighborliness of respecting one another's property, one another's belongings, but would choose to strive, plunder, and rob, and steal to get gain. Why like that? The Apostle Paul offered an explanation. From biblical history, he says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The first man whom God had created, the first couple, Adam and Eve, fell from righteousness, fell from grace, the glory that was accorded to them by God, were tainted, marred, scarred when they disobeyed the will of God in partaking of the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And mankind fell as a result of the fall of Adam and Eve. And we have never recovered in the last 6,000, 7,000 years. History attests to the calamity. Is there a way out of man's sinful, depraved state? Yes, there is. The Apostle Paul, who received that way out, the cruelness, the hatred, the anger that was in him, was subdued. And he wrote this of his conversion, on the subduing of his evil nature that was within him. He says in Romans 5 verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You remember when he saw the risen Christ on the road to Damascus, he was blinded, shocked to the core. God confronted him for his sins, and he was arrested by God. And there was a change. He understood the way back, the way to break that bondage of sin, and it is through faith in Jesus Christ. The way to take away that anger, the way to take away that hatred, the way to take away the selfish streak within us. How it was dealt with a death blow on the cross when Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose again the third day for our justification. There is no other message that the Church of Jesus Christ will declare but the message of Christ and Him crucified. This was the Apostle Paul's life. After God's peace came into him, there was indeed a notable change, a transformation that took place from within his heart. And this is the remedy to the deep, to cure the deep-seated hatred and fear in the human heart. You remember when Adam and Eve fell and they were so ashamed, so fearful, they hid themselves from the presence of God, and God came to them, asking them, "Why are you hiding?" The fear within them shook them, and God administered the solution. An animal was killed, and a covering was made, a prefiguring of what Christ will do on the cross, in order to take away that shame. Sin was dealt its death blow. Only this gospel brings remedy and healing to the human heart, to experience true love, true joy, and true peace that can only come with reconciliation with our Maker and our Sustainer. Romans 10 and verse 8, the Apostle Paul said, "But what saith it? The word of God is nigh thee." The word of God comes to you. This gospel, this solution to take away that hatred within you. And even in thy mouth and in thy heart, the word of faith that we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. This is the way out. This is the only gospel. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." And there is no difference whether you are Jew, whether you are Greek. For the same Lord is over all. Or the same Lord is over all, is rich unto all them to call, who calls upon him. There is a way out, dear friends. That bondage of selfishness, the power of man's worship of self is broken by Jesus Christ and his atoning work on the cross. This is Good Friday. And then there is true good neighborliness. Only when the bondage of sin is broken can God's unconditional, sacrificial, eternal love be shed abroad in the human heart, to give to us a new heart, to give to you a new heart. Are you struggling? If you are, well, the Lord is saying to you, have you consecrated all to the Lord? Have you come to the foot of the cross? Has the blood of Jesus Christ washed you of all your sins? If it has not been washed, then you have no overcoming power in your life. The bondage of sin is broken, and God's love shed abroad in the human heart to give it a new heart. There was a man who was a missionary to China, and the other time we were endeavoring to sing the chorus that he taught, Lord crucify. Give me a heart like that. Teach me to love the dying souls of men and keep my heart in closest touch with thee. Oh, give me love, pure Calvary love, to bring the lost to thee. God's love in our heart, God's peace guarding our heart, his joy rejoicing our heart, gives us the strength to love even our unlovely neighbor. Render a good hand. God's love helps us to see the dying soul, then the demanding self in our neighbor. Jesus gives us the litmus test for true conversion and discipleship in Christ when he revealed in John 13, 34 to 35. Let's turn there. John 13, 34 to 35. Our Lord Jesus says, and it is given to all who have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Have your sins forgiven? He says to you, a new commandment I give unto you, John 13, 34, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. So how is this love to be applied in the human heart to our neighbor? Jesus tells us, he summarized the Christian life in two sentences when he commanded in Matthew 27 or Matthew 22, he says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. But the second is like unto it, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On this commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Love God, and by doing so, he blesses you with his grace to love your neighbor. as yourself. The demand of the law is that we are to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. How you love yourself, love your neighbor. That is enough. The law does not demand that we love our neighbor more than ourselves. Very reasonable. The law tells us that we are to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. How you love yourself, love your neighbor. And we know how to love ourselves. The Lord tells us, do so to your neighbor. How can we live this practice, this righteous man's life before God? Solomon tells us, imbibe God's wisdom and do His will. Verse 27 of Proverbs chapter 3 says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in thy power, in the power of thy hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Strive not with a man without cause, if he have done thee no harm. Solomon gives to us two practical laws for our learning. The first, withhold not good, verse 27 to 28. And the second, devise not evil, verse 29 to 30. Both times, the negative not is given. The word there is an emotional appeal, an urgent emotional appeal from the Father to the Son, from your Father in heaven to His children. Withhold not, devise not. So our first thought, withhold not good. Withhold not good. Jesus met a lawyer who tempted him in Luke's Gospel chapter 10 and verse 25. And this man said to him, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? What shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered, said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. That's what we have said. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, who is my neighbor? I tried to be clever. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. Whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these 3 thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. And Jesus said unto him, go and do thou likewise. So as you think of it, you find what a practical story. And most of the time, you would think, why should I stop? There was a man who had a flat tire, and he was flagging to the motorists who were passing by in the highway. No one stopped. And he was there alone, not knowing what to do. And he says, there are countless times also when I pass by someone seeking help. And I think perhaps I should have given a thought in that call for help. Herein, the Lord gave us food for thought. Have we been so busy with our own business that we have neglected the business that the Lord has brought to us through our neighbors? James said, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked or destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if he hath not works, is dead, being alone. During the time of the infant church, it is recorded, neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands and houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. There were those who were persecuted for their faith. They have lost their homes. They have lost their jobs. And they are in trouble. And there was practical help that was rendered during those times. Galatians 6, Paul says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them which are of the household of faith. Herein is the teaching out of God's word to provoke us to good neighborliness. And the Lord wants us to think and examine our own lives and think and consider our own hearts if we have been good neighbors. If we have not, then should we not endeavor to do better for the Lord, for His own honor, that His grace may come upon us. But we say this, that there is a wrestling match within us. Paul described that wrestling match within us in Galatians chapter 5. He says this: "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other." There is that battle that is within you. The flesh saying no, and the spirit saying yes. And the Lord wants you to overcome and know. And you know, God is so good to give us His good laws so that we may truly be able to examine, truly be able to know what to do, how to handle. And last Wednesday, well, we were looking at some of these laws that the Lord had given. How is it that God has to institute a law that we may know how to live well one with another? And so one of the law is the law for the gleaners. If you have a vineyard and that you are, it is harvest time, and you are making your harvest, right? The Lord tells us, if you have been given a good harvest, right, the grapes are all over, He says, pluck those grapes, easy to reach ones. Those a little bit harder, leave it there, so that the gleaners, those among you, or those in your neighborhood who may have some need, may be able to glean in your field for something. Now, is it a good law to follow? You'll find that if that man is desperate and hungry, and no one is there to help him, what will he do? Well, he would just take a knife, modern day, take a machine gun, get into the field, take what he wants, and get out. He's desperate. He would die of hunger if no one would do anything for him. So God's law tells us, take care of your neighbor. There is peace in the community. For your own good, for the good of those who are around you. And so God gives to us good laws, and He will take time to study them. Humane laws. We said, if your neighbor's ox fell into the drain, and he's your enemy neighbor, not a good neighbor to you, well, the law of God says that you are to help that enemy neighbor to lift his ox out. Naturally, we won't do it. That's the enemy. But God's law says that we are to do so. You see, that God tells us and teaches us how to live with a spirit of justice with the people around us. And you will live with that spirit of justice with the people around you. Won't there be peace and harmony? Surely there will be. Withhold not good. 27 to 28, devise not evil. 29 to 30, devise not evil against thy neighbor. Again, the emphatic not, an urgency, urging us to action. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing that he dwelleth peaceably, dwelleth securely by thee. Strive not with a man without cause, if he had done thee no harm. You see, the laws of God are to be practiced. The laws of God are to be imbibed and implemented. But if we were to hear, listen, and then not follow, you would find that the blessings that you are receiving, God will take away. Be careful. Jeremiah was asked by the Lord to rebuke the people of Israel. Jeremiah 22 and verse 13. Woe unto him that buildeth his house by unrighteousness and his chambers by wrong, that useth his neighbor's services without wages. Do you use somebody's service without compensating the person? And giveth him not for his work, that saith, I will build me a wider house and large chambers, and cutteth him out windows, and it is sealed with cedar and painted with vellum. Shalt thou reign because thou closest thyself in cedar? Did not thy father eat and drink and do judgment and justice? And then it was well with him. He judged the cause of the poor and needy. Then it was well with him. Was not this to know me, saith the Lord? But thy eyes and thy heart are not but for thy covetousness, and for to shed innocent blood, and for oppression, and for violence to do it. What happened to Israel during that time? Well, God sent the prophets. Reminder were given. They have been extorting from others and refuse payment. Very sad. Why like that? The people of God, guilty, and the Lord deported them out of the land. Nebuchadnezzar was sent. The greatest king on earth. You know, if he had obeyed the Lord, he would have the greatest empire upon earth. Nebuchadnezzar, the head of gold, the man with the iron fist. So great, the head of gold. Great strength given to him. He came and he plundered Israel. God took away their blessing, deported them out of their land. And so the Lord is saying to us, not only are we not to devise, to do good, but also not to devise evil. James said, behold, the hire of the laborers who have ripped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth and crieth of them which have ripped and are entered into the years of the Lord of Sabbath. The hire of the laborers who have ripped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth and crieth of them which have ripped are entered into the years of the Lord of Sabbath. God hears. And therefore, we are to follow and understand God's law, the spirit of God's law, carefully, correctly, and be willing to do. Thou shalt not oppress a hired servant that is poor and needy, whether he be of thy brethren or of thy strangers that are in thy land within thy gates. As his day thou shalt give him his hire, neither shall the sun go down upon it. For he is poor and setteth his heart upon it, lest he cry against thee unto the Lord, and it be sin unto thee. And so there is no law to forbid your not giving, not helping. But the law tells us here, right? The Lord tells us here that lest he cry against thee, and it be sin unto thee. God gives laws governing good relationships, and the adhering of them will bring God's blessing of peace, harmony, and prosperity. When God makes a nation out of the people of Israel, he gave them the laws by which men may live in the sight of God and in the sight of man as a wise and understanding people before the nations of the world. This was what Israel was made to be before they entered the land. The Lord said to them, "Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me that ye do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? For what nation is there so great, that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed unto thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thy eyes have seen, lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them, thy sons and thy sons' sons." Deuteronomy 4, 5 to 9. "Devise not evil, withhold not good." Very important laws. Well, does it mean that because the Lord instructed us to give, therefore we do not take care of our families, we do not take care of the needs of our loved ones, our parents before us? No! The Lord says, do all these things first. And if you have taken care of all these things, then you go out and do good. The Lord will reward you. if our own home is dilapidated, what is there to talk about? May God help us. Let us pray. Father, we pray and ask that thou be gracious to bless thy word to the hearts of thy people. Lord, help us. Help us to do thy will according to thy word as good neighbors. This I pray with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen.